It's Sam Switkowski here from the Fremantle Dockers, and you are listening to the Footy Mailbag Podcast with Damo and Lala.
Hello and welcome to the Footy Mailbag. My name is Damo, and on this week's episode, we'll unpack round zero, do our traffic lights for round one, we'll take a look at opening round and, of course, answer your questions. But it wouldn't be the Footy Mailbag without my co-host, Clarky. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. It is, not to date the podcast, but it is Wednesday, the day before football officially begins because opening round didn't count, right?
I mean, games were played, but Supercoach didn't matter, so technically no
opening
games
round
played.
Didn't count. And I finally have a team that I'm settled on because I can't be bothered trying to fit in more players.
So last Thursday, we released our first cut of the rookie traffic lights. We'll be releasing a refined one tomorrow morning. Tomorrow morning at the time of recording this podcast, with updated gradings, a few more squares.
I can't believe we had so many squares, and the complaints basically boiled down to needed more squares.
Yeah, like, and the one we released last week had a great response overall. I did call Henry Hustwaite a ruckman, which upset way too many people, but that's fixed now. We're fixing it, okay? Clarky, we're trying.
Hey, it's better than the cheat sheet that you're not going to get from Lekdog, because he's retired, and let him retire in peace.
Yeah, if you go and annoy Lekdog for a cheat sheet, he will probably throw something weighty at your head.
Got him.
Anyway, we talked about it briefly. Well, you talked about it briefly. Allegedly, some games of football were played last weekend, and there were
one of them was really good.
And there were Supercoach scores that came out of it, you know, and we probably need to talk about those Supercoach scores. So Sydney and Melbourne faced off at the SCG. So there were some really good games from Heaney, Grundy, Chad Warner. James Jordan was looking good as a mid-pricer that we were thinking about in our forward lines. Mm-hmm. Matt Roberts is looking like a really, really good rookie for us on the Sydney side. And that's probably the main performers there. What stood out to you from Sydney's side of this game in terms of Supercoach?
I was a bit concerned about Goulden, but maybe it was the conditions that didn't favour him. But it was really nice to see Roberts and Jordan play their way into my side. Grundy, I don't think any of us really had any concerns about that. He picked up 23 disposals, had 33 hitouts, and 139 Supercoach points. So if that's the ceiling that we're talking about, I see absolutely zero reason why you should be questioning picking him anymore.
He would have scored 100 points in the second half alone, because I'm pretty sure he got to halftime on less than 40 points. So his second half was absolutely monstrous from him. And up against Max Gawn, well, it might have been a case of the monster that he knew, the devil he knew, because he knew how to, you know, make Gawn sit down. And not many ruckmen can go up against Gawn and you know, overpower that man.
Yeah, Gawn did win the hit-out battle with 37, so only slightly ahead, and he had a higher disposal efficiency than Grundy. Conditions weren't really in their favour. We know Max does get a lot of his scoring these days from those marks that he takes defensively and offensively, and even sometimes putting himself on the scoreboard, but he only took the one mark for the game because slippery conditions probably weren't the best for his handling, and I know a lot of people... There's been some talk, Damo, in some circles that we're in and across the Supercoach fear of Max Gawn potentially maybe getting bullied a bit too much for the game, which I think there is some essence of, because they've always said that the way to beat a good ruckman is to bully him a little bit. But Melbourne playing poorly in the second half contributed just as much to his score as getting dominated in those ruck contests and around the ball. So I wouldn't be too concerned about Max Gawn's 72, especially 14 disposals and one mark is well under his usual performance and ability. So, if you want to move him on to any of the other premium ruckmen, by all means, that's not a bad move. Pick a ruckman that you have confidence in. But I think there is just as much reason for his poor scoring as there is to say that there is going to be good scoring on the horizon.
So we'll move to the Melbourne side in just a second, but what's one thing that stood out to me was Jake Lloyd is now playing on the wing, or seemingly playing on the wing for Yikes. Sydney. So Matt Roberts has taken his role across half back, and that is really impressive. So at 156K, this guy looks like he might be one of the rookies of the season or to start the season with. So we've got him as a green square with a star on it on our cheat sheet. That'll be released tomorrow morning, as I said. James Jordan was only on 10 at quarter time and then finished on 81. It really looks like John Longmire wants him around the ball and will adjust accordingly to allow for that. Chad Warner finished on 118. He had some really, really sparkly moments throughout the game where, wow, this guy's come, he's here. And then Brody Grundy, of course, finished on 139 points. Where I've arrived now is, Clarkie, we're going to talk about Isaac Heaney.
Damo, I don't want to.
26 disposals, 7 tackles, kicked a goal, finished on 144 points. He's under 500K, able to be selected as a forward. There'll be people who have been burned way too many times by this man, but with no Parker, with no Adams, and John Longmire admitting that he was just too good in the midfield to move out throughout the game, is he going to force someone like a Luke Parker to assume his role in the forward line, and Heaney does become a centre-bounce midfielder finally?
Short answer, yes. Long answer, no. So, short term, there's a big old Luke Parker, Callum Mills-shaped gap in the midfield. Heaney is very good at football and being a midfielder. When they're back, I worry for guys like Jordan and Heaney in what their roles are going to revert to. Will they keep Heaney in the centre? We don't know. And the difference between those two, in Jordan and Heaney, is a significant price difference. Am I willing to outlay at the start of the season 500 or so K on a guy who only has limited time upside? And I know it is a significant time for Mills and Parker, both dealing with broken parts of their body. But Taylor Adams also isn't super far away. He's not ridiculously in the distance. So I don't know, Damo. I wouldn't be going there, but how do you view it?
I feel like he's, and this is going to sound really, really stupid, I feel like he's a boring selection. And okay. And sometimes it's good to be boring, sometimes it's bad to be boring. And where you sit on this fence line is completely up to you. Me, myself, I have been burned too many times by owning Heaney, and I can't go there again. But I'm not going to talk anyone out of starting him.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment of the way to talk about it. It's like I was saying with Max before, I think the biggest thing that we at the Mailbag like to stress is picking players that you actually want. If you want Heaney, if you've seen everything that you need to tick off the boxes for him, by all means, I'm not going to sit here and tell you every single potential negative thing that's going to happen, because you're picking a guy who you have your reasons for selecting. If you were just picking him off the back of this one game, I would strongly suggest that you just consider that and weight it throughout your whole team. Is that an outlay that is worth it for the long term for you? Because at that price, you're not looking to jump off him. You're looking to have him cemented and be like, you know, a Dan Houston in your defensive line. Is someone that, unless injury permitting, you want to keep him for the whole time.
So let's talk about the Melbourne side now. Stephen May finished on 115. Christian Petrarca finished on 108. Salem, 93. Blake Howes finished on 91. 123K defender. He looks like he's going to have a great season. Simon Goodall always inserts a rookie out of nowhere into the 22 and keeps them there. Jake Bowie with his collarbone issue probably makes Blake Howe's job security really quite strong now. So I would be selecting him, and you get four or five price rises up until the point where they have their buy. So worst case scenario, that's when you cash out.
It's really good that Melbourne has better succession planning for our defense than we do for any other part of the ground.
I mean, I think you did have succession planning, but then Fremantle came and spoiled your party. and took Luke Jackson. Thanks,
hey,
by the way.
Hey, Damo?
Yes.
I know a certain Melbourne fan that told you this, but do you know what we got out of that Jackson deal?
Caleb Windsor.
A little fella that you might have heard of called Caleb Windsor, and he's fucking brilliant.
Speaking of, he played in this game and finished on 58 Supercoach points off 13 disposals. He looked quite clean with the ball, just didn't get a lot of it. So his scoring was quite his scoring was quite good for what he got of the ball. He just needs to get his hands on it a bit more. But the SCG wings aren't as deep as the others. There's not a lot of room to run, so hopefully at the MCG, we'll see him spread his wings a bit more and fly for your team there, Clarkie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, I wouldn't be jumping off him off one game. I think he looked really good. He passed the eye test, just the score didn't match what we saw, really.
If 58 is a down game for him, I could see him probably sitting between that 50 and 70 range, which is decent enough with maybe a spike game when he kicks a goal or two, which I don't think is going to be too far off the books for him. And I do... Sorry, you go.
And Caleb Windsor is a perfect example. I was talking about it with Blake Howes, that round six bye being an opportunity for you to jump off. If Caleb Windsor at 180k... is only scoring between 50s and 70s, and Howes is maintaining an 80, maybe 90 sort of scoring range, maybe Windsor is the one that you jump off and you hold on to Howes. And I know I was talking about job security and all that, but Windsor's job security is probably better than Howes if you had to rank them. But if Windsor at 180k is only scoring his 50s, 60s, 70s, he's going to make cash at a slower rate. And maybe there's someone that comes through in the meantime where you can get a bit more of a cash injection from cashing in on Windsor and keeping Howes. So Melbourne's round six bye actually is probably in a really good location for you guys, being our listeners, to start upgrading and start thinking about, do I cash in a Caleb Windsor? Do I cash in a Seth Campbell from Richmond who shares the same bye? Like, there's so many opportunities with these later early season buys that we just need to take advantage of. And I see Windsor or Howes being a really key part to those strategies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do want to talk about two detractions before I think we can finish on one positive or even two positives. Looking this, we'll start with Billings. Yep. Started as a sub, came on after halftime. Conditions weren't really in his favour. Scored an 11. That's in his price. I think it's firm to say that he is firmly, if we're putting it in traffic light terms, firmly in like a deep yellow, a very deep yellow bordering on the red. I think there's a good chance that he could be named within the 22 because we needed his maturity from the start of the game. And I think it's more beneficial to have a mature player on field and sub them out for a Laurie or one of our younger guys, just in terms of overall strategy. I think he could still be serviceable as a scorer, but that 11 in his price cycle probably means that we don't start him.
Yeah, I mean, on the cheat sheet, we'll have him as a yellow, but we will probably change that to a red pending team selection, which we don't actually get to see before we post the cheat sheet, but we'll maybe do an update on Friday morning, depending on how it looks. But yeah, Jack Billings, when he started at the sub, the panic was there from the community, and it just Baffling. Didn't look great. And 11 is in his price cycle now. So
it's so funny that the panic wasn't just the Supercoach community, but it was every Melbourne fan going, what the fuck is going on?
It threw everyone for a loop. But I remember the Melbourne team preview that we did. You said this.
I did.
You said that Jack Billings was a sub candidate. So Clarkey, as I tweeted, Clarkey foretold this prophecy.
I did, and then I got wrongly lulled into a sense of security after seeing him play a decent amount of the game against Carlton. But originally, so it turns out I should have just trusted myself.
Preseason games, baby.
Yeah, that's it. The team, I could go on for hours. I'm moving past it. Playing the Bulldogs this week, maybe that'll be good.
Do we want to talk about Max Gorn again, or did we kind of cover that?
Unless you have anything to add? Wendy?
I don't think there's anything to add. The only thing I will say is Gorn has only surpassed 95 in round one twice in the last 10 years.
Yeah, was it last year?
It was last year, and then in 2016.
Yeah, because so it was last year, and then he got injured 5 minutes in, or 5 seconds into the round two game, didn't he?
So he's not a fast starter. He's someone that needs a game to warm into it. So we might find that he scores 120 against Tim English this weekend. But if you're not comfortable with a 32-year-old with not a lot of support, then don't go for him. There's lots of options around his price that aren't going to hurt you or help you if you don't go for Gorn. So it's entirely in the listener's court if they want to go with Gorn or if they want to go with a Briggs or if they want to go all the way up to Tim English or Rowan Marshall or whoever they pick. There's other options. Don't feel like you're backed into a corner with the Gorn selection.
Yeah. So I do want to have just a very quick one line on Salem where it's, I think Salem selectors maybe watch out what happens with Bowie going and see if that shifts Salem's move into the midfield or pushes it down the line. Just something to be wary of. A 93 with him playing in the midfield is probably what you can expect. Very good. I want him kicking it inside 50 as a football fan and as a super coach person. That's just bank, baby. But see how the defensive group moves. Maybe yellow him.
Yellow. All right, let's talk about Brisbane Carlton.
Oh, sorry. Can I just add one more thing? Clayton Oliver. If you saw Clayton Oliver, I think we got enough from him that you can confidently select him moving forward.
I can't believe I forgot about Clayton Oliver. He scored 90, and he's still getting match fitness. I mean, I don't know if I would start him given his starting price, but if that's what he scores on, what, half or 60% capacity, he's someone you want to look at when his price dips, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. But okay. I still think that, there's enough there to start him. Let's move on to Brisbane-Carlton.
Brisbane-Carlton, one of the greatest games to ever watch. That Carlton resurgence was incredible. Brisbane just had no answers for Carlton in that third quarter.
Brisbane had, and we said this on the Falcon, new episodes every Friday, every week. We're changing now because the rounds are starting. But we said this on the Falcon. Brisbane had a premiership first quarter, and Carlton had a premiership first half and second half. And so, it was obvious.
Yeah, I mean, Brisbane only scored one goal in that third quarter. Carlton scored seven.
Amazing.
That was the game.
I'm here for it.
That was the game there.
I'm absolutely here for it. Notables from Brisbane. Lockie Neal, 112. Perfectly fine, lock him away. Dunkley, 101. Perfectly fine, lock him away. Jared Lyons scored a 106. He is 250?
He's mid 200k.
I had it written down somewhere, but it's one of the tabs.
The issue I see with Lyons is, I think he played his role, and I don't think Chris Fagan's going to drop him off last week's performance, but they've got Dev Robertson to return. They lacked speed once Kiddian Coleman went off, which we will talk about very soon. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if when they think about balance, Jared Lyons is one that they don't recall if they don't get a response this week.
Yeah. He's playing a role that I don't think presents itself with its own massive amount of security. At that price, I think we've got better rookies around who feel more confident or as confident as Lyons, where we know Ashcroft is also due back at some point this year. bold to start him if you're into that, but if you have confidence, go ahead. It's not for me.
Yeah, and I mentioned Kidion Coleman, if you haven't heard the news.
Rest in peace.
He has ruptured his ACL, and he will now miss the season. So if you've still got him in your back line, look for other options.
Terrible news.
There are options within 20K of him either side that you could potentially go for. We will have a cheat sheet with potential options, but he was about to have break out.
Yeah. Yeah. He was absolutely on it. And I would have had without the injury, his role was perfect. And it's really sad when a young player has an injury like that, because it's such a long road. And it was the same when Ashcroft went down last year, Coleman this year. Those AFL gods striking down the good ones, Damo.
And feels strange to say, but I'd almost prefer him playing this week against Freo, because yes, a weaker team makes it easier for Freo, but I'd like to know that I have beaten the best team that I'm up against.
Yeah.
I don't like it never feels good when you whack a team by 10 goals because they're missing 20 players from it to injury. And I know one player might not make that much of a difference, but I feel like Brisbane are different when he's in the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brisbane are different. If we move over to the Carlton side, Harry Mackay, 130. We'll talk about what you spoke about on our live stream in a second.
Yeah, maybe.
Nick Newman, 93. Adam Chera, 92.
Hewitt, with a 106.
Hewitt, 106. A few people were looking at him. Zach Williams, 73 on return.
That's the good one.
At 216K, he looked good.
Give him the green light. He's got the green light, baby. He's in. Locked and loaded.
He's green. Jack Carroll, 65 off 35% game time. Activated after Sam Doherty unfortunately went off. Another player who ruptured their ACL. Three ACLs for him now. That's just heartbreaking. And I know some Carlton fans that were really quite upset about that news. So
I think that one affects the whole football world, because who doesn't love Sam Doherty?
One of the good guys, beat cancer. He's
massive advocate, massive activist in his off-field stuff.
Yeah.
I love him and I hope he comes back.
Yeah, so cycle back to some better news. Harry Mackay on 130. Clarkey, we did a live stream during this game. We had people from Insight Fantasy Sports, The Centre Bounce. We had Freo Tragic, who does some stuff for Supercoach Talk. We basically had like a round table of people coming and going, sharing their thoughts.
Beautiful Joe.
All throughout this game on StreamYard. We had Joe. It was
Big
just great.
Jay, briefly.
It was just great talking to people from all the different communities about this game as it happened, and also the Supercoach as well. We've still got the audio. I need to chop it up. But basically, Clarkie, you said to DR when he checked in at quarter time that you were looking at Harry Mackay as a potential point of difference because you thought him pinch hitting in the ruck, which has now been confirmed, by the way, could make him a viable forward selection. Have you actually got him in your team?
I don't, but I could. It's because I couldn't fit him in, Damo. I couldn't fit him in. It's too hard. But I might have to on the back of this. 130 points, 13 disposals, only the one hit out, two tackles, three goals. If his goal kicking's back as well as doing a little bit of rock time, 94% time, Harry's here, mate. Harry's back.
We were talking about the forward line having no options. Well, I feel like we're going to get options that we didn't realize were going to be options. And Harry Mackay is a great example of that.
I've drafted him in every league that I possibly can that I haven't missed him in.
we won't spend as long on this game as we did on the Sydney and Melbourne game. Oh. So let's quickly move to the Suns-Richmond game. Gold Coast 199, Richmond 60. Matt Rowell, 137. If you were hot on him, go for it. Hold on to him. Sam Flanders, 124.
I'm interested to hear what you make of that, because I remember you saying in the in the community series that he was playing one out, and we didn't like that, but now he's scored 124, and we do like that.
I don't know what was a sugar hit or what was actual form, because Richmond didn't have the greatest game. And under Adam Uze, obviously their game plan will evolve and they'll be able to negate the opposition better. But Gold Coast were able to run free. So I'm still not, even though 124 is a great score, like a great fucking score, I don't know if it's a sugar hit or if it is form.
I got to be honest. I've never been a Flanders truther. I appreciate his name because of The Simpsons. But I don't know if I trust it. But also, he's at the point now where it's kind of safer to just take the risk and pick him and then parachute out.
Yeah.
Rather than missing on a big score. But I suppose if I replace him with Harry Mackay, that'll all work out for me.
Your mate Will Powell finished on 123. Yeah.
There's Noah the pod,
Anderson,
baby.
122. Tuukka Miller, 116. Jared Witts, 110. Look, all those six guys that I just mentioned, if you started them, don't let them leave your team. They were great.
They're all good.
Sam Collins, 102 out of nowhere. Connor Butterick finished on 94. No, lots of people were onto him, because they thought that Damien Hard would use him in a Jaden Short type role, which was true. He kind of did play that role, but so did Will Powell. So the balance might be interesting.
And this was the problem that I had with Will Powell last year, is that one week he would have the good role, and then the next week it was gone. So I was hoping that that'll be different under Dimmer, but it's probably the only thing that shakes my confidence in both Powell or Buderick.
Alex Sexton finished on 73. Lock him in, 133K. I don't think you can argue with that. And then the rest wasn't Supercoach relevant. Gold Coast looked great, and I think they're going to be really Supercoach relevant. Even though Dimmer previously hasn't had a super Supercoach relevant game plan, I think this time we will be there. I think we will see players hold on and be super coach value.
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens this week in round one. But I'm hot on them. Hot on them. Now, can we move over to Richmond? Because we've got my current D2 top in the Richmond scoreboard, Mr. Jaden Short, with 130 super coach points. That's juicy. I like it. He's not that expensive.
And he's playing off half back again, which is his
best. He's back, baby.
Which is his best role. So I love that he's back. Jaden Short was one of my favorite Supercoach selections as a defender. Mm. When he was purely just a midfielder, or when he was being used in the midfield, he was pants, man. I get what Dimmer was trying to do. He was trying to, you know, turn another page at Richmond, trying to find something else. But Short is at home at halfback. And 130 super coach points just confirms that.
Now, we have the news as of just before this recording that Sam Naismith has not been named. So, there's two schools of thought about what to do with Naismith. Tamer, you're shaking your head.
There's not even two schools of thought.
I've seen two, which is one, which is to hold him, because eventually Nankervis will die. And I don't like that one. The second one is to bring in a certain ruck forward option in your forward line, and then use the West Coast player. Is it Corey
Cohen Livingston? I will say this though, Cohen Livingston isn't out of the realm of possibility that he actually plays.
Yeah, because West Coast also need ruckmen.
Because West Coast have been using a two ruck setup all preseason, and now Matt Flynn's injured, and Cohen Livingston was who was getting a bulk of the ruck minutes with Williams in the preseason. So Not out of the realm of possibilities that Livingston actually does play. Love Josh Gibkiss finished on 76, which...
Love that.
Great at 150k, lock it in.
He did it with only 9 disposals as well, which is crazy.
He's efficient, man.
I just want to say, anyone who wants to know the difference between AFL Fantasy and Supercoach, just look at Gibkiss's difference between AFL Fantasy score and Supercoach. That's what makes Supercoach different.
So he scored 76 in Supercoach. He's scored half that in Fantasy. Seth Campbell.
Who?
123k forward rookie, finished on 70 points from 9 disposals and 2 goals. And I watched the game, and he was around the ball a lot. The amount of pressure that he was putting on the game was actually pretty amazing to watch. And his scoring may be decided by how much he hits the scoreboard, but 123k at F8? Well, we spoke about it with Caleb Windsor. At their bye, jump off him.
I'm concerned with the return of Tom Lynch, and Dusty will eventually have to return as well. I think Richmond are missing personnel, but like you said, if it's there, it's juicy. Like, when the food's served, you got to eat.
He survived team selection this week with Dusty and Tom both returning. So hopefully he sticks around. I've got him in my team. I can't afford anyone else. So, Tim Taranto finished on 49.
Stinky.
Richmond players struggle to get their hands on the ball in this game.
Yeah.
Only 3 players above 20 disposals, and that's concerning.
It's not good for Richmond. I'm just saying, it might be a rough year. Is Gold Coast that good, or were Richmond that poor? That's the question. And
Column A, Column B, maybe? I'm not sure.
I'm not predicting good things against Carlton this week.
Let's move to the Giants against Collingwood.
Please.
The Giants looked slick.
Oh, juicy.
They looked so good. And
Tom Green, get in my team. Get him in.
30 disposals at 87% time on ground. 132 Supercoach points, and believe it or not, only 1 clanger for the entire game.
Oh, I love him. He looks next gen.
He is their bell cow in that midfield. He is, and I use that joke because they played on a showground.
I get it.
I've lost my train of thought because I love that joke so much.
Yeah, bell cow in the midfield.
He is the main man in their midfield.
As Abs would put it, he is a Ferrari.
He's
the wonderful Godfather. Gives us the words that we lose as. Tom Green is next generation Clayton Oliver. I'm telling you now, I've been saying this for multiple years. He is something else. Don't miss him.
Stephen Canelio finished on 111. Kieran Briggs, 109.
All good.
Lots of people going from Gorn to Briggs. And
Such
as myself. I like that move because I'm doing it myself. Briggs, good. Whitfield, 108. Himmelberg, 101. Josh Kelly, 97. If you're starting him, I wouldn't be concerned about that score. They were in second gear for most of the second half.
Oh, I forgot about Josh Kelly.
Aaron Cadman finished on 55.
That's okay.
127k. He only needs a couple of 60, 70-point games to really kickstart his cash generation. And West Coast and North in their next 2 games, he's got every chance of tunning up in one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Jacob Ware finished on 48 and Harvey Thomas finished on 40. Rookies that are there, warm bodies, you could take them or leave them.
Jacob Ware will get games. He just won't score well. Let's move over to Collingwood.
There's not really much more to talk about in this game. If you started Harry Himmelberg, hold on to him. 101, great return for 450K.
Whitfield is the one that scares me about missing, like not getting him, but
yeah.
I think we kind of get a run where I don't want too many Giants players and I'm picking Tom Green.
Early buy as well makes them difficult to pick too many.
Exactly. Now, moving on to the Collingwood side. We got Darcy Cameron finishing 133 on the back of 30 hitouts, which is really good. That's decent. I love that. Nick Daicos. Well, if you expected Nick Daicos to do Nick Daicos things, then he got 131.
He did Nick Daicos things.
Yeah, he continued. Even he put on a show at the Showground, Damo. See, we got that. That's another joke, right? Alleged criminal, Braden Maynard, 93. Side bottom, 88. Look, I'm just going through this list. Collingwood were a bit out of sorts, and the point spread is noticeable. Outside of the Daicos brothers, I don't think there's really anyone that we're thinking about. Lipinski, 87, if you were hot on him. 26 disposals is good.
Rookie Charlie Dean finished on 55, but he also gave up like 12 goals to his direct opponent, so I don't know if he will retain his spot in the team for them. But even then, there's better defensive rookies with better job security, probably. So he's definitely not a must-have, but 55 is a pretty good return for his price. Just job security and scoring potential is questionable.
That's it. Damo, we did it. I'm calling it. We did it. GWS.
We did it.
GWS are contenders, man.
GWS. Future premiers of New South Wales.
That's spicy.
They could all be the premier of New South Wales.
That's fair. Got to give them something.
Let's get to some questions, Clarky.
Let's do it. We're a mailbag. Open the sack.
So the first question, or questions, this guy submitted three. Matt Collins on Facebook wants to know, Flanders or Jackson?
Jackson.
Why does Flanders and Jackson sound like an insurance firm?
Flanders and Jackson is definitely a law firm of some kind.
Insurance firm, law firm, something along those lines. Accounting firm, maybe?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Can I get you to talk about Jackson just a little bit, because we haven't touched on it, but he is popular right now.
We've actually got a few questions regarding Luke Jackson, so I'll put it out there now that I don't think Luke Jackson is a bad selection. If you're selecting him because Sean Darcy's injured, though, you're picking him for the wrong reason, because the Dockers will want Sean Darcy back as soon as possible, and current time frame is 3 to 4 weeks. But the likelihood that Luke Jackson is a top 6 to 8 forward is quite a high probability. So at 557K, you are probably selecting him at a premium price, probably at the top of his range. But if you're selecting a premium in the midfield, you ride the cash as it goes up and down, but you get the good scores. And I think Jackson will be okay even when Darcy is in the team. I think they've worked on that over the preseason. And another year in the system together, who knows what that looks like.
So
I think it's going to look good.
So I will say, it's been pointed out to myself that by JG on Twitter, if you follow him, he's been putting out a lot of Supercoach content over the preseason. He's put out that Jackson averages 85 with Darcy, which is still a good forward score.
And 85 with Darcy, if they've kind of meshed a little bit better,
yeah,
that... another 5-10 points increase, that's still...
And you still get the spike games as well.
I would take that.
Yeah, I think that's something that's perfectly acceptable. There is, you know, when we have all these forward options, right, that we end up selecting because their upside is that they play mid. We talked about Isaac Heaney. We've talked about Flanders. Now we're talking about Jackson because he has upside playing another role that is not being a forward. But forwards averaging, like good key forwards, they average what? 95 to 95 would probably be the top 20 pure forwards. So I would take that with Jackson with his upside. I think there's also room for you to miss and land on a cloud, you know, and just go down to the nearest rookie or go on a Zach Fisher who's on the way up.
Hey, the greatest thing about Jackson being a 557K, I don't need to find money to go up to anyone because he's the, because aside from Jack McRae, he's the top priced forward. If he doesn't work, I can go down to anybody. If Zach Fisher doesn't work, who am I moving to? I can only go down, and I would have to go to a James Harms or completely down to a rookie and bank 200K, which I can do with Jackson anyway by going down to anyone anyway. So there's also that side to it as well, and Jackson doesn't have the early buy, and he can cover the ruck line and all of that sort of thing. So
yeah. So yeah, I think for me, Jackson wins out of Flanders versus Jackson, but only because of the reasons that we've outlined.
I would say you can't go wrong with either, but my pick is Jackson.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is Jared Lyons worth a mid spot, or will he get dropped? This is Matt Collins again. I said he submitted we briefly touched on this when we talked about that game. I don't think he's worth starting. I don't think, don't tear apart your team to fit him in.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're not convinced, and you're not slotting him in easily, like in place of, you know, Sean Manor or someone that you have like money in the bank, and you just want someone who you know is going to play for a reasonable amount of time, rushing to get a 250-odd guy in and, is not my priority.
Yeah, and the greatest thing about Jared Lyons is, and I know it will cost you a trade because it will be after the season starts, but we get to see him again this week. And then they have a buy, and his price won't rise until round 4.
Yeah.
So you get a good glance at him before you actually need to make a move. And I know it will mean using a trade really early in the season, but if he looks like someone who you need to have, a trade might be worth it.
We got 40 of them, baby.
And next question, last one from Matt Collins.
Thanks,
he actually
Matt.
Directed this to me, but I would like...
No, you know Clarkie, what? Not thank you, Matt.
I would like you to also answer this one, Clarkie. Luke Ryan or Hayden Young?
Oh, that's... It's... you go first, and then I'll give a bad answer.
My answer's easy. Hayden Young.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I agree. Good. Okay, it's not a bad answer. I chose correctly.
Hayden Young's 100K cheaper, gonna run through the midfield. Luke Ryan... I don't know how that backline is going to look now that Hayden Young definitely isn't going back in there. And I say definitely because that's what everyone is saying. So Luke Ryan's might score fantastically and be a great selection at his price, but for 100K cheaper, you get someone that's running through the midfield. And I know picking someone who's playing a different position to where they're, to where you can actually pick them is gold in Supercoach and also slightly taboo, but Hayden Young is the way to go in that scenario.
That's what it is.
Thanks, next Matt. Next question comes from Con Chrysanthu, which he told me said his name right. So
yeah, he's back, Con. We love
he's
you.
He's asked another question. Thanks for listening. He traded out Luke Jackson for Isaac Heaney, with the plan that he wants to trade him out at round 5 or earlier. But he wants to know if he should trade Jackson back in or stick to his guns. And it sounds like you have a plan for Isaac Heaney.
This is what we're saying. Sometimes our advice doesn't sound as direct as it should be because we want it to be about you guys. If that upside is more present to you in Heaney than it is to Jackson, pick the one that feels good because you can build a scenario around that without being surprised. And you've already done the research. You've done the legwork. You know the foibles. You know what the positives are. Go with it. Don't bring someone in just because everyone's doing it. Do it because you're comfortable with it.
And starting Isaac Heaney over Jackson gives you 100K to play with, which you can bank or you can use.
I would also argue that Heaney has similar positives to Jackson in the sense that he is a high-priced forward. If it doesn't work or if it's not working for you, you can easily parachute out to a lot, a reasonable amount. Maybe not like high top echelon, but you can parachute out to just about anyone that you need to. So stick with your guns. You listen to enough content. You ask good questions. Stick to your guns, man.
Timmy Too Far on Twitter. I love Timmy, that name, by the way.
Yes.
He's genuinely concerned about Max Gawn. Can Max Gawn be a top ruck at 32 years old? Is he really worth picking?
And he's the king.
And I mentioned it earlier. Teams might go after Gawn because there's no real support for him. Because you guys don't have Grundy, you don't have Jackson. Who's sticking up for Gawn when Gawn needs a rest?
So, the options are Jacob Van Ruyen, or if Tom Fullerton is back. He's recovering from injury. I believe he's training with the main group again. Both are two options to pinch hit for Gawn that give him some relief. But as we covered it earlier, Damo, like, Max Gawn getting bullied hasn't really stopped him from having massive pop-off scores in the past. He scored 140 in round one against the Bulldogs last year, against Tim English.
Yeah, so to me, there's two things that we need to discuss. Is Max Gawn worth it? And at 583k, what he can produce, he's worth it. At 583k. He's almost 100k, 150k if you go back a couple of years.
Yeah.
Below what he can produce.
Yeah.
So is he worth it? Yeah. Is he worth picking, though? Well, you've mentioned his age in your question, which means, Timmy, you're already thinking about that the fact that he's an old man. So if you're not sold on Max Gawn being in your ruck line, being someone who you can trust all year, then maybe you've answered your own question and you don't start Max Gawn.
I did provide Tim an answer to this on Twitter as well, where I said, look, if you're having doubts and you see an option that is better, go with the better option. This is what we've been preaching all week. Like, this isn't the time to tear apart your teams and start afresh. This is the time to make decisions that matter to you and leave you in a position to start that leaves you on the best foot to execute your plan. I think Max Gawn can still pop off. He represents value. I agree. The only other option I would say around that price or the higher end, because I believe Tim also pointed out that he couldn't afford English. Kieran Briggs, I think, is the answer to Max Gawn jumper offers, because Kieran Briggs has a different buy, which gives you ruck cover, I believe, because Max and Brody are on the same one. I don't forget all this stupid early buy shit. Fuck.
So Brody has round five.
Yeah.
Max has round six.
Six.
Briggs has round three.
Yeah. So Briggs gives you the cover over both of those rounds. He's a good ruckman, and he's coming up in these next two games against oppositions that don't really have good ruckmen. So this is the time to start him. Go on, correct me.
No. You're talking about Briggs. I thought you were talking about Gawn. Never mind.
No. Briggs is coming up against West Coast, whose ruckman is question mark.
Yep.
Bailey J. Williams.
Yep.
And question then mark.
Tristan Cherry,
who, by all accounts, is good, but still plays for North Melbourne. Still plays for North Melbourne. Like, with all respect, still plays for North Melbourne. So, Briggs is the answer. I am sticking with Gawn.
Briggs, Marshall, if you can't afford English and you don't want to go for Gawn, those are probably the two other options I would go for.
Maybe Witts, if you want to be spicy.
If you're not convinced by Gawn, don't do it to yourself. Don't put yourself through any pain. Super coach is supposed to be fun.
Yeah, have fun.
Now, Clarky, I think our listeners had a party and they didn't invite us because we had like 8 billion questions and they all were pretty much the same thing. If you had to pick one of Fife or Jordan, who would you go with and what do you see them averaging?
James Jordan and like 70, give or take five, plus or minus five.
I'm at 80 for James Jordan.
Yeah.
And I'm probably at sitting at about 75 for five, but I'm picking both.
If I
if I had to pick one, Jordan.
Why are you picking both?
They cheap.
That's. And, I, you know what? I need to win your team.
And they score better than their price.
I don't. I look. The longer it goes on, the more I am questioning my belief in Fife, Damo. Is Fife still life? Is my life Fife?
Is, can your life
still be Fife?
can your life deal with Fife?
Also, I had to squeeze in my beloved F3 Isaac Rankin, so somebody had to get the chop.
I do like Isaac Rankin as a pick.
It feels fun.
It does.
It's fun. Anyway, yeah. Okay, Jordan makes the most sense to me, Jordan, just because he doesn't have the injury history.
So there you go. The answer is Jordan probably averaging 80.
Yeah.
All throughout the episode, you would have heard us talking about players and then giving them a green, yellow, or red rating. Green indicates good pick. Yellow is a watch or a hold. Red is a trade or a void. And a player could earn their rating for several reasons, including, but not limited to, scoring potential, job security, price point, reliability, or injury status in the case of red squares. We've already spoken about a lot of players like Tom Green. He is green. That square is as green as it's ever going to be. Zach Williams is a green square. Connor Butterick is a yellow square, because we spoke about, we don't know what that's going to look like when there's a bit more balance, when they're up against probably a better team than Richmond. So when we speak about these players and we say they're green, they're yellow, or they're red, that's because we're talking about our traffic lights, which you will find on our socials the morning after we post these episodes.
That's right. The spiritual successor to the cheat sheet. We've made it. We've made it. It's just as easy to read as it was, and it's more fun because the colors.
There's some pretty colors.
Yeah, that's a good green. That's a really good green.
Clarky, before we go, we need to talk about vice captains and captains. We won't go into too much detail. Who are you looking at for your team this weekend, being vice captain and then your captain?
Old habits die hard, baby. VC on Jaden Short with the C on Libba.
My VC is on Nick Dacos. And my C is on Marcus Bontempelli.
Boring. We're both boring.
Boring. You've got other options. You could go Tom Green against North Melbourne as an option. You could go Rory Laird against Gold Coast.
Rory Laird, I would have said Dawson or Matt Rowell as well. I think if he racks up another 20 clearances, that's just cash money. Zach Butters or Connor Rosie against the Eagles on the Sunday.
I probably wouldn't pick anyone from the Fremantle or Brisbane game.
Okay, fair enough.
I wouldn't rely on someone in the last game for a captain's score, especially in round one.
Yeah. I will say, if you want a super, super duper spicy one and you're someone who is absolutely insane and owns like a Charlie Curnow or Harry Mackay, VC. I think Carlton are going to thump Richmond. I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and I am excited for footy to be back.
Clarky.
Yes.
That's it for this episode of the Footy Mailbag.
Oh, God. You know what? I forgot how good it is to get so many great questions from our listeners.
If you haven't joined our open league, please do. The code is 422899. Best team name gets a free mailbag tee after round one. We will draw that on next week's episode. After round 24, one of you could win a $50 AFL store voucher for the highest ranked team in our open league.
It's Clarkie, very funny that we're going to have to read 200, currently 250, I'm trying to do maths, 56 team names to figure out the best one.
Look, if you're in, you're in with a chance.
That's good. That's it. I promise to read every single one of your names.
Clarkie, thank you again for being here.
It's such a pleasure. Footy's Supercoach is back. Footy is already back. Supercoach is back, Damo. Let's get pumped. Who is that guy? That guy's not me. I'm excited. I'm too excited. I'm sleepy.
I think we're all excited. I think we just wanted to start now.
I'm like a kid on Christmas.
Well, thanks for the questions, community. We'll talk next time.